The artisan cheesemaker is on his way back. And these thousands of cheeses you see across the country, every cheesemaker can be considered a chef or an artist. There is something different that they are all doing to their specific cheese that makes it special. Hey, this is Nat Caputo of Caputo Cheese. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and excited to have on the line for a long time leading family in food, really an institution in Chicago on the grocery side. And of course, we've got to talk Caputo Cheese. It's president and CEO Nat Caputo. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Well, food fans for a generation have known Caputo name, the store. So share a little bit about, let's say, like the history, your journey growing up in it as a kid, and how cheese became not only a passion, but really it's your career.
Sure. Thanks. Caputo family came over from Italy in the 50s. Brothers and sisters, my grandfather, actually my grandfather came over, and I have him in 1900, early 1909, coming over, going through Ellis Island real early. He worked on the railroad. So from New York to Chicago, working on the railroad, then brought his family over, and they were all in food and in retail in Italy when they lived in southern Italy. So naturally, just from having that background in their family already, when they came to Chicago, that's where they all began. So you've got my uncle Angelo, who owns the Angelo Caputo's Fresh Markets all over Chicagoland, and then my family, Caputo Cheese, producing mostly Italian-type cheeses, so Parm, Romano, Asiago, and fresh mozzarella.
It's a lot of pressure, right? You know, because people expect a certain amount from a Caputo. You got to know what it is that you're doing. And when it comes to the cheese, now I love cheese. Who doesn't, right? But this time of year, it's getting a little bit cooler, you know, more hearty meals, more a little bit of the comfort food side. I love cheese all the time, but is there like a cheese season?
You know, not really anymore or any longer. Cheese is really considered an ingredient and a food in itself. So, you know, from every dish, from pizza to pasta to TV dinners, or, you know, any of the prepared meals that are out there, every 99% of the food that we're purchasing, even off the grocery shelf, has cheese in it already. So I don't like to say that the cheeses are seasonal, but however, you do have the party season. You do have the summer season for salads and the fresh mozzarella. So we do see some spikes here and there. But like you said, now that it's getting cool, people are going to have more dinners in the home, or they're going to be going out to dinner a little bit more with the sit-down dinners in restaurants. And we love those seasons.
People feel like they know cheese, you know, from childhood with grilled cheeses or mushroom and Swiss. There's some basics that everybody's sort of familiar with, but cheese goes a lot further than that. Talk a little bit about maybe some cheeses that are lesser known, but you feel are ones that people, listeners, should learn about and definitely try. And then, like, what are some of your favorites? Is it the basics, or do you have some sort of crazy exotic cheese that only you know about?
You know, obviously, growing up in the business, I've tried probably 1,000 different cheeses. And I kind of, just from my own palate, kind of lead back towards my favorites. Today, I love eating goat cheeses. I love Cypress Grove's Humboldt Fog. That's one of my favorites. But with regards to our products and what we do, I'm sure everybody has heard of burrata by now. You see burrata on a lot of the menus in everywhere across the country. Burrata is really just, it's a fresh mozzarella. The inside of the burrata is called stracciatella. And stracciatella is basically strands of mozzarella and cream mixed together and then stuffed into the center of that burrata. Lately, I've seen a lot of use on menus with the stracciatella. What makes it different? Not a whole lot. It just gives you that heavy, rich, creamy flavor in whatever dish you're making, still with the strands of mozzarella in there. Even this past weekend at the Bear game, we made some pizza. Sausage, caramelized onions, and stracciatella.
Nice.
And it's really becoming a crowd favorite. So today, not only do we sell the burrata, we also sell stracciatella. And the chefs are loving it because they can make use of it either way. They can put it in your traditional caprese salad, or they can like a pizza topping like what I did this past weekend.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Nat Caputo. He is the CEO and president of Caputo Cheese. And I wanted to ask you, you know, since you were a kid back in the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, where maybe the just access for information, the supply and demand of what was out there and what could be done just wasn't what it is today. Now with Food Network, and I cover all those events and all those personalities, where people are more aware of what's out there. And so they're wanting it now. So talk a little bit about that, just how maybe some of these really cool things that you can add to things that people are used to, like pizza and having the stracciatella and some other cheeses in there, where it's kind of great. It's probably cool for you, right? Because not only are you out there making great cheese, but other people know what it is and they appreciate it.
Yeah, it seems to be like there's no end to it. I don't want to say that the market has become saturated. There are thousands and thousands of cheeses, and unfortunately, we probably won't be able to try them all. But you do see many chefs coming up with new and great ideas utilizing different cheeses. Ricotta cheese, for example, that you would typically think is just in lasagna or stuffed mostaccioles or things like that, are now being used in more sweet and savory desserts, or even just a simple appetizer. So it's not necessarily an item that can just be cooked. It can be served as a dessert. So we love the fact when we see chefs thinking out of the box, fruit toppings on cheese or any type of a dressing, or that really gets us excited, because, you know, it's a team effort here and everybody wants to stand out and everybody wants to help the industry at the same time. So it makes it a lot more fun for us. So even our simple staple items of the Italian side or the Italian sector of cheeses, really there are many, many more options and variations of use of the product. It's great. Exciting for us.
Unlike some things that people eat, and just a phrase, you know, cheese, it doesn't grow on trees. You know, everybody has a relationship with cheese. Everybody kind of knows what it is and understands it, but the making of it is kind of mysterious, right? So talk a little bit about the process. Like, how is it? Is it the same basic process for the listeners for all? Is it different for some kinds of cheeses that you have to do? And then on the innovation side, and we're going to have Jason Herbert, he's the lead cheesemonger. He's going to get in on this conversation with us as well and talk a little bit about it. Just that process today, a lot of the old world stuff, you people want to cling to some of those traditions. Are there new things that are out there that make more cheese more possible? What's going on?
Sure. So like from our side, from the industrial side, you know, the machinery has taken over, let's say, the American style of cheese making, the blocks of cheddar, the blocks of American, even the blocks of mozzarella, where for a while there, we thought the artisan cheesemaker was kind of getting swallowed up or suffocated or frustrated. But today, the machinery is getting even better, where a true artisan cheesemaker can take their recipes and take their formulations, apply it to a piece of machinery, and actually produce the same item. So with regards to us and our cheese making, it's very simple. We're Italian style. So you have your milk, your cheese cultures. We even use vinegar to make our mozzarella, something to curdle the milk. From that, we extract the whey. And with that whey, we make ricotta cheese. We make two different styles, a very specialty high-end ricotta that's used in desserts, and then your traditional ricotta that you make, you know, your lasagna with. So the artisan cheesemaker is on his way back. And all these thousands of cheeses you see across the country, every cheesemaker can be considered a chef or an artist. There is something different that they are all doing to their specific cheese that makes it special. And Jason has been around the block many, many times. He can tell you. He knows more cheeses than anybody I've ever met in my life. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Jason, like, add into this a little bit. Number one, how just sort of modern advantages and just advances have kind of just extended the reach of what it is that you can do. And then on the public side, like, what is it that people are either looking for, asking for, and what are you giving them?
Well, what's absolutely great about the modern American cheese market is going back only about 15 years, a big cheese department might only have 15 or 20 different things. Now you can walk into just about any great grocery store and find literally hundreds of different kinds of cheeses. I had a colleague who used to joke, it's like Pokemon, that you have to try to catch them all. So chefs today have the opportunity to experiment with so many different variations of both familiar and brand new innovation from right here in the United States. A lot of the conversations I've had recently have been with chefs that were using traditional low moisture mozzarella, occasionally putting a little Parmesan on their pizzas or their pastas. And now we just walk down the shelf and you can see provolone, both old world and new, aged and young, strong and mild. Adding cheeses that are all in the same family together, finding new combinations, is allowing people to dive deeper and deeper into flavors that have always been there, but just have been very difficult to put together.
It's a good time. It's a good time to be making cheese. It's a great time to be a fan of cheese. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, that this is, you know, it's kind of getting into that sort of holiday time where maybe cheese is going to take a front burner place in the, in sort of the family setup or that team photo of things that are going on. And so maybe a little advice for the listeners, if they're going to kind of delve into, they hear this, they think to themselves, hey, I want to branch out. You know, I don't want to get just the same exact thing. There's other things out there that could be great. What do you suggest?
From my point of view, you know, I think most people were, most Americans, let's say, were afraid of the blues and the goats. So today, in today's world, that some of these goat cheeses that you can try out there are far better than some of the cow's milk cheeses that they've known their whole lives. So any of the aged goat cheeses, any of even the chefs that you can purchase for salad toppings, some of these cheeses have so much good flavor that you would never know it was a goat cheese. I mean, Jason, would you agree?
Absolutely. Just taking a style of cheese that folks are already familiar with, like cheddars or goudas, and just picking up the one next to it that is made from a goat's milk or a sheep milk, there's a new flavor profile, and the way they age and the way they melt and the way they feel in your mouth, just a totally new experience for something you thought you already knew really well.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Nat Caputo. He is the CEO and president of Caputo Cheese. Jason Herbert, lead cheesemonger over there. Guys, I know that I think the apprehension is gone in a lot of ways. I think the appreciation is rising. We've given people a lot of information today on some things that are out there and how you guys are working and leading the way on the cheese side. For people who want to get more information, whether it's places to go to get stuff from Caputo Cheese, maybe some advice on some recipes or some things that they can kind of build into their holidays, where can they go?
They can come to Caputo Cheese in Melrose Park. We could be reached at 708-450-0074. Ask for myself or Jason. We actually answer telephones here at my company.
They answer telephone and then also have like real cheese forum. And of course, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all that stuff. So Jason, thanks so much for everything you're doing. Nat, thanks for you and your family and the great contribution, thanks, not only nationally, internationally, but of course, to the great food scene here in Chicago. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you. Dane, we got to get you out to Melrose Park and make some cheese.